A confessional portion this evening is taken from Belgic Confession Article 12, dealing with the creation of all things, and especially angels, found on page 74. It says, "We believe that the Father, by the Word, that is, by His Son, has created of nothing the heaven, the earth, and all creatures, when it seemed good unto Him, giving unto every creature its being, shape, form, and several offices to serve its creator, that he also still upholds and governs them by his eternal providence and infinite power for the service of mankind, to the end that man may serve his God. He also created the angels good to be his messengers and to serve his elect, some of whom have fallen," that's the angels that is, "some of whom have fallen from that excellency in which God created them into everlasting perdition, and the others have, by the grace of God, remained steadfast and continued in their first state. The devils and evil spirits are so depraved that they are enemies of God and every good thing, to the utmost of their power, as murderers, watching to ruin the church and every member thereof, and by their wicked stratagems to destroy all, and are therefore by their own wickedness adjudged to eternal damnation, daily expecting their horrible torments. Therefore we reject and abhor the error of the Sadducees, who deny the existence of spirits and angels, and also that of the Manichees, who assert that the devils have their origin of themselves, and that they are wicked of their own nature without having been corrupted." So far the reading from Belgic Confession, and in light of that, I'd like to read from 2 Peter chapter 2. "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought them, and bring on themselves swift destruction. And many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they will exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. For if God did not spare the angels who sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved for judgment, and did not spare the ancient world, but saved Noah, one of eight people, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood on the world of the ungodly, and turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them to destruction, making them an example to those who afterward would live ungodly, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Then God knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust under punishment for the day of judgment, and especially those who walk according to the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise authority. They're presumptuous, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries, whereas angels, who are greater in power and might, do not bring a reviling accusation against them before the Lord. But these, like natural brute beasts, made to be caught and destroyed, speak evil of the things they do not understand, and will utterly perish in their own corruption, and will receive the wages of unrighteousness as those who count it pleasure to carouse in the daytime. They are spots and blemishes, carousing in their own deceptions while they feast with you, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, enticing unstable souls. They have a heart trained in covetous practices and are accursed children. They have forsaken the right way and gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Beor, who loved the wages of righteousness. But he was rebuked for his iniquity. A dumb donkey speaking with a man's voice restrained the madness of the prophet. These are wells without water, clouds carried by a tempest, for whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. For when they speak great swelling words of emptiness, they allure through the lusts of the flesh, through lewdness, the ones who have actually escaped from those who live in error. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also he is brought into bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they again entangled in them and overcome, the latter end is worse for them than the beginning. For it would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than having known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered to them. But it has happened to them, according to the true proverb, a dog returns to his own vomit, and a sow having washed to her wallowing in the mire. So far the reading of God's word. Dear people of God, a common theme in the article that we read on the Belgic Confession is service. God created the earth and all the creatures to serve him in serving mankind, who in turn uses creation and all creatures to serve God. So God created this world not only that people would say, oh, how wonderful God is, but he created the world as a service to them. As we know from the Belgic Confession, right early on, how has God made himself known to us? Through the creation. So the creation serves to reveal God to us. And of course it does that. The Psalms tell us, right? Day after day, the creation pours forth speech. The sun rises and it sets every day. And we see the beauty of the creation. We see the providence that is embedded in there for our well-being. That's the way God designed it. Not only to reveal himself, but yes, to reveal himself in terms of his attributes, almighty power, eternity, but also his goodness and love towards us, that he's created a world that is unique in this vast universe in which we live to fit the needs that we have. Right? The earth is the only planet there is in this vast creation where we can exist. And it didn't just happen by chance. No, it happened by the providence of God. And so this creation then is put in its place, designed to reveal God to us and to provide the things that we need, to show forth his love and kindness towards us. And as I say, it's amazing then that, as the passage says, that people use that. People receive the kindness of God and they return no thanks at all. In fact, they don't even admit that he exists. This is all by chance. And even though that is beyond comprehension that we would think that if we're the only planet that is like this in the whole billions and billions of planets and stars out there, that they don't see that as odd, that this is the only one. And they keep having this hope that there's another one out there. I mean, out of billions and billions, they're looking for just one. And all the time they're living on that one. And they won't give credit to God. And so God has designed it, as I say, to help us. The creation, in its helping us, directs us to God. directs of the Almighty Being, that we are his creatures, and that we're to acknowledge him. We're to acknowledge that all this comes to us from God's hands. And even though it's a fallen creation, and therefore we suffer many diseases because of a sin that has infected it, that nevertheless it still serves our purposes. It's still a delight to live in this world, even though it's stained by sin, because of God's goodness still shines through every day. And so we're to think about that. We're to let the creation do that work for which God designed it, which is to shout abroad the glories of God. And for us to hear that, for us to see that, and for us to echo that ourselves, rather than just turn a blind eye or reject the very truth that God has embedded in this creation. In our passage, we have Peter addressing the issues of the false prophets, false teachers, who have destructive intentions towards God's elect. And we are assured that God cares for us and that his purposes are not thwarted by these attacks. So not only does God protect us and provide for us in the creation, but also in terms of humanity, even in the midst of his people, and down the ages in the church as well, that there have been false prophets. There have been people that have benefited by being in God's covenant, as it were, and yet it's all for their own. It's all for their own glory. It's all to better themselves. And so they exploit and they present destructible doctrines that destroy the lives of people and leads them astray, and they encourage it. But God does not allow that to supersede his purposes. And so those that God sends out into the world to preach the gospel, in the end, they're the ones that succeed. The church is built as God provides for the church by sending leaders and preachers and teachers so that they may be strengthened in their faith against this onslaught within the covenant community as the devil utilizes whoever he can, even those that have professed their faith, even those that, as he puts it, have tasted of that good gift, and yet they've been lured away. It's like Balaam, lured away. But yet God addresses it. As he said, by a dumb donkey speaking to a prophet. Do you think the prophet wouldn't have anything to learn from a dumb donkey? But he did. He did. The dumb donkey is saying, "Why are you beating me? What have I ever done to you? I mean, I've served you all these years, and now you're beating me. And what am I doing? For your good. I'm stopping so that the angel in front of us doesn't destroy you. I'm saving your life. And you're trying to kill me." I mean, that's how dumb the prophet became as he was led astray by the riches that were promised to him. Even angels, evil angels, those that have fallen from the state in which they were created by God. Even though the article says there are those that deny that. They think there's good and evil. It's always existed. And so these evil angels were not good angels that fell and became evil, but they've always been evil. Evil has always existed. So in other words, God exists and then evil exists. And it always has. And so the article is saying, no, absolutely not. God created all things. And these wicked angels, where they come from, is that they rebelled against God. I mean, for that matter, they might as well go and say, oh, all the people that don't believe, all the wicked people, they've always existed too. God didn't create them. They've always been wicked. No. No, that's not what the scriptures teach. No, God created us good, as our catechism says. We became sinful and wicked because we disobeyed God. And that's the same with the angels. And we're told about that in the scriptures. But they do their utmost too. Even though they were designed to be serving God's people, as Hebrews says, Hebrews chapter 1, they fell, just like the false prophets. They fell to do the opposite, to do wickedly, to respect no one. But yet God brings them to naught. They fail in their desire to destroy all the church if they could. But God will not allow it. I will build my church and the gates of hell should not prevail against it. And Peter speaks about that even more later on in chapter 3. And in Jude, he traces all of this opposition to God, and he said they will all fail because God is sovereign over all of these things. And it's these things that we need to appreciate and keep in mind because we live in that world. We live in that environment. And if we're not to be confused by it, think everything is out of control, and fear enters our heart, we have to see it from the vantage point of the scriptures, vantage point of God, so that we can see things in their right framework, which is God's creation and God's redemptive purposes, and know that they're never going to fail. Not collectively as a church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and not individually as Christians. And we have examples of that, not only of the church being in trouble, we have examples of individuals, God's people, individually being in trouble and God delivering them. And so what does our confessions teach us then? Well, it teaches us, first of all, that heaven and earth serve the elect. There's no doubt about that whatsoever. They were created by our Father in heaven. The Heidelberg Catechism, of course, addresses that in answer to 26, teaches that our comfort in this sad world is based on two facts when it talks about creation and providence. Firstly, the creator and controller of heaven and earth is Almighty God. And therefore, he's able to protect us because he controls it. And the scriptures clearly teach that. Give as many examples of that. So when the God's people at the Red Sea and the Pharaoh's armies are coming upon them, God and say, well, yeah, I can't really help. I mean, you know, the game is lost. There's no way out. The sea's there in front of you and the armies are there behind you. There's no way. I can't do anything. Right? But he showed himself to be the God of the of creation. He opened up the Red Sea. And it's so miraculous, so beyond our wildest comprehension, that people deny that. No, it didn't happen. They have some other excuses or reasons why it happened. But they don't want to admit that the creator of the heavens and the earth can stop water and allow people to pass through. That somehow that's beyond them. They look at the universe around us, as I said, and it just dwarfs us. The power that is there. And now they look at the creator who formed that and said, yeah, but this is, yeah, I don't think this, he can do that. But he did. He absolutely did. And so they walk through the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army was drowned in the Red Sea as they followed them into the sea. The waves came down and it destroyed all of Pharaoh's army. No, God created the world, and he has full control of it. Not to mention, the flood. I mean, if we have problems with the Red Sea and stopping the water, what are we going to do with the flood that engulfed the whole world and destroyed all of humanity except Noah and his family? And you may not be surprised that even some in the church deny that that's reality, that that really happened. Why is that? I mean, the one that created this vast universe and holds this vast power that is out there in his hands, he can't cover one planet with water? and then dry it up? 40 days and 40 nights, he couldn't do it? Now, clearly the scriptures teach us that our almighty God and Father did do that to warn them, to warn the sinful world that set itself against him. And the Lord Jesus Christ, I mean, I could do many more in the Old Testament, but the Lord Jesus Christ in the New Testament. I mean, with a few loaves and a few fishes, he feeds 5,000. Who's ever heard of that? And then you think, well, why should we be surprised with that and think, oh, how can that happen? When he feeds 5, 6, 7 billion people every day. Every day he feeds the whole world. Through the creation that he's brought into being to serve us. Every day he does that. And now we look at the 5,000 and think this small amount of food cannot feed them? No, absolutely, it can and did. No, God created all of these things out of nothing. There was nothing that existed other than God. Whatever came into existence, God brought it into existence. Whether it be angels, whether it be human beings, whether it be the inanimate world, the animals, the vegetation, everything came into being because of him. All the systems, all the processes, God planted them, organized this creation according to the needs of men and women. To show forth his goodness, his power, so that we would bow before him, rely upon him, praise him and worship him. And so the creation is there as a global poster board telling us that God is great and God is loving and God is just and he is your creator. And as Ecclesiastes says, forget not your creator. Don't forget. That's the most important thing. That's why we should not forget our creator in the days of our youth. We don't leave it some other point. We need to know that straight away so that we might see his goodness. And by seeing that, we may be drawn to him, to worship him, to thank him. But not only that, it's through his son that we are to come to know him. And so another truth then that the Bible teaches you, God's creation, is that the Father created all things through the Word, that is his Son. The article says, it's what the scriptures teach in John's Gospel in chapter 1, that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And everything that we see, whether visible or invisible, was brought into being through the Word. Through the Word. And that's what makes the reaction to the Lord Jesus Christ so terrible, because he came to his own. This is his world. And we are his creatures. He came to his own, and his own received him not. They didn't give him any honor. In fact, they crucified him. They listened to a word that he was saying. I mean, how terrible that is. But the Lord Jesus Christ is God's gift to us. We're to believe in him. God sent him to rescue us. Even though we'd made a mess of this world, rejected him, lived our only life, tried to set our own little kingdoms up for many, many hundreds and thousands of years, God eventually sent his son that we might listen to him. But as the parable of the vineyard workers shows, those workers said, oh, look, he sent his son who's the heir of this vineyard. And so let's kill him and then it'll be ours. I mean, that's what the world did. They crucified the Lord of glory. They didn't want him down here. He was gracious enough to take on flesh and dwell in our midst, in our filthy world. I mean, if Lot was stressed out by living in this in Sodom and Gomorrah and seeing and hearing the things that they were doing, how much more the Son of God to live in this sinful world? But he nevertheless he came so they might hear the gospel through him. Now, God's love through Christ was shown in his laying down his life for our salvation. How many times did the Lord Jesus not show his full control over nature in protecting his disciples, caring for them, even his enemies? And when the servant's ear was cut off, the servant of the high priest, Christ healed him. But he didn't touch them at all. I mean, here they wanted to put him to death. He heals his cut off ear. And it doesn't make any difference to them. They're still going to go through his their plan and arrest him and trump up charges against him. But God protects us through his providence. As I said, this world, in terms of creation, is subject to futility. We do suffer living in this world. Diseases, accidents, natural disasters. We do have that. But remember, the Catechism tells us that even though sin is in the world, it's infected the world, nevertheless, nothing happens to us by chance. Yes, we experience fullness, we experience poverty, we experience good health, we experience diseases, riches, all kinds of experiences we have. But the Catechism, and indeed the Scriptures, want us to remember the fact that he's the creator of all things and controller of all things, and so nothing happens without his will, without him. And secondly, that he's our loving Father. He's our loving Father. And so as we live our life, the experience that we have of life with the ups and downs and struggles, we have to understand and appreciate and thank God for it, that he is our good shepherd. He guides us. He helps us. And even though at times we're in pain and we're tears and we're just being inundated from every direction and suffering, God is in control. And God is help, not in control in the sense of, I've got it, you just got to suffer, don't worry about that. No, he's there helping us, comforting us. We're to be waiting upon the Lord and renew our strength. And our faith is being tried. But one thing is for sure, he's not ignoring you. One thing is for sure, he's not outpowered by evil, that he cannot help. No, absolutely he can, at any moment. But he has his purposes. He has his redemptive purposes. He has his purposes for you. And so the lives that we have and the things that we experience, they're all designed for our well-being. The end is the same for each and every one of us. We're going to be perfect before him. But we have different paths. And so we ought to hang on to that. We ought to embrace that. Let us never allow that root of bitterness to set in. And we complain that God isn't fair, that God isn't treating us like he's treating other people, other Christians. And so we get bitter. That's a dangerous place to be. That's to be vulnerable to the devil whispering in our ears. He doesn't care for you. Why are you believing in him? Take things into your own hands. Do it yourself. The devil is always saying those things when we suffer trials and difficulties and persecution. And so it's remembering our God, our Creator, the one that loves us and cares for us. That's the only answer that we have to those innuendos that the devil plants in our minds. That's what we have to respond to him with. That which we know. That which is before our very eyes every day. If God doesn't care for us, why does he give us this world to live in? If God doesn't care for us, why does he give us life and strength? Why so many things to enjoy? Why has he lavished his love upon us? It's a lie. It's a lie that you're putting into my mind. We're to reject it. But even angels are created by God, yes, to serve him, but they serve us too. I mean, in the scriptures, how many times do we not have angels bringing God's message to us? In the Old Testament and the New Testament. They bring messages from the very presence of God, as Zechariah found out. And when he questioned that, the angel is shocked. I mean, you are a creature of the Almighty God whom I serve, before whose presence I stand, and I'm bringing a word from him to you, and you are doubting that? You're not believing that? You're questioning that? I mean, it's just, I mean, it made the angel just think, what is going on in the minds of people? And so the angel said that. I stand in the presence of God. I'm bringing that message to you, and you're doubting it, and you're not going to be able to speak. You're going to be mute. Until the day that you acknowledge exactly what I've said is going to happen, and his name is going to be John. And that's the time that he spoke, Zechariah. All that time, he couldn't speak. And all he could hear and see that Elizabeth was saying, no, his name is John. And the relative said, John? I mean, who's John? We've never heard of John in our family. His name's no, it can't be John. And I'm sure they were looking to Zacharias, who couldn't speak. And finally, his mouth opens and he says, his name will be John. Never mind the fact that they were old and weren't expecting to have children. They had that. But then his name was John. So angels are sent, as they were sent to Mary, to Joseph, in the Old Testament too. Angels are servants. God has created them, yes, to glorify him, just as the creation, to glorify him, but also to serve the church, serve the elect. Angels encamp around those that love him. Angels protect us. They encourage us. We have all of these evil angels that seek to destroy the church. But Christ said that the gates of hell should not prevail against the church. God is defending his people on every level. We don't fight simply against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. But we're not left defenseless. As Jude says and teaches, in every way that evil attacks the church, the Father defends. And so we never should express sentiments like, oh, what's going to happen to the church in the next 20, 30, 50 years? I mean, the world is getting so more and more evil and against God, and they're going to persecute. What's going to happen to us? What's going to happen to us? Is that we're going to continue to be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. No one is going to destroy the church. Absolutely not. The gates of hell are not able to prevail against it. Never mind the world in which we live. Not that we're to be proud and thinking, oh, we're invincible. No. I mean, that clearly is not the case. I mean, we're weak and we go through all kinds of struggles internally as well as with the world. No, we're not that. We're not cocksure of ourselves. But we are confident in God's protection. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because God has communicated that to us in his word. God controls the wicked angels. And though they boast of much, and though they show their power, as it were, as we've seen in the scriptures, those that were demon-possessed and how ruined their lives were, and how he leads nations to do wicked things against God's people. We see that in the Old Testament. Nevertheless, they are under his control. And so in Job, the devil comes, Satan comes to God, presents himself before God, and can do nothing unless God permits it. And so he has to ask permission to test Job. And God said yes. Just to show forth how great his gospel was and the work that it had accomplished in Job's heart, he allowed it to be tested. And in the end, his faith remained sure. And the devils continued to do that. As I said, the demon-possessed man that was living among in the graves and cutting himself and harming himself. Remember what the angel said when the Lord Jesus Christ addressed them? Have you come to destroy us before the time? I mean, that's a statement of people that know that their time is limited and that they're going to be judged. And they're just asking, is it time? Are you going to judge us before our time? They knew they were defeated. They had to ask the Lord Jesus Christ to let them go into the pigs. They can't just do whatever they want. They are under his control. And Jude, as I said, speaks about that in particular. No, yes, there's evil out there. Yes, there are evil spirits. And people can dismiss that, as it said, the Pharisees didn't believe in angels. Didn't believe in spirits either. Our spirits, that is. That's why they didn't believe in the resurrection either. They can say all of those things. But the fact is, evil exists. And the scriptures speak about it in Ezekiel 28, using the devil as a template for how people act. The kings of Tyre and Sidon, acting like they were gods. And God says, but you're not. And then he puts it in terms of Satan. You are an angel in my presence. I mean, what more privilege could anybody want? Did he lack evidence that God existed? And how wonderful God was? No, he knew all of that. And he rebelled. And many angels fell with him. And they were cast out of heaven into this world. And they make it their mission to create havoc in this creation. And in particular, to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are led by the devil to do that, to harm the church in any way that they can. And so they seek to bring false doctrine that takes us away from trusting in God and trusting in ourselves. In fact, in Revelation chapter 12, we're taught that when the devil tries to attack the Lord Jesus Christ and ends up failing because he thinks he succeeded because Christ has been crucified, but in fact, he was defeated. He was humiliated. He was disarmed, made a spectacle of, and Christ was caught up into heaven. Well, then what does the devil do? The devil doesn't stop. He doesn't stop. So in Revelation, we're taught that the dragon goes after the woman, after the church, that is. So they just destroy things for destruction's sake. Anything to mar this creation of God, they are bent on doing. And though their destruction is assured, they want to do the maximum damage as they can. But as I said, God is in control. So we're to be vigilant. We're to be careful. we're to be cautious in terms of the things that we believe. That we don't believe these lying spirits in the mouths of false prophets, as it were, that seek to lead us in away from what the scriptures teach, questioning the very things that God has taught us in his word. So we're not to live in fear of such angels and say, well, we're no match for angels. We're going to be defeated. Well, God's people were no match for their enemies on an earthly level. With great armies that the Israelites were faced with. And they thought they were going to lose. And they didn't even have to lift a sword. God defeated their army. And they were successful. He defended them. So we're never to think that the church is unstable, that it can be attacked, it can be destroyed. No, it cannot. It absolutely cannot. Because our God lives in our midst. And though the devil boasts of much and shows himself as the wicked winning in this world, his kingdom winning in this world, it's all lies. He's never won and he never will win. No, this story of this world is one of his defeat and judgment and destruction. But the perfect redemptive purposes of God will be seen in all of their glory. And so we have to watch them the way that he acts. We have to be careful about false teachers. It's the devil that is behind them. Because, by the way, the devil leads us all. And that's what Paul says. We were all followers of the devil. We were led by him to be children of wrath and children of disobedience. Well, that's the way the false teachers are. They're led by the devil. Warped in their thinking. Doing it for their own glory, for their own gain. The devil promises them everything. But little do they know that they are being destroyed by him. And Peter and Jude write warning the church is against false teachers. So they come with all of these false doctrines, trying to lead us away from God's truth. They are ungodly. They defile the flesh. They reject authority. They speak evil of dignitaries. They seek to overturn God's order. False teachers sought to undermine God's redemptive plan by teaching a works righteousness. That man can do it. Just follow me. Listen to what I say. Do the things that I'm telling you to do. But it's destruction. You follow a works righteous path, you're in bondage. You're in deep trouble. Because it will never work. As Jude puts it, they attack the faith once and for all delivered to the saints. The only faith that there is, the only hope that we have, they attack it. And so it's vital, the important, that we defend the gospel and the word of God, as Paul says in Galatians. Even the good angels respect God's created order. And so when the good angels encounter the wicked angels, they don't act against them in a disrespectful way. They say, the Lord judge you. They don't act like them. They act like they've got all the authority in the world. And they trash people. They speak ill of people. But the good angels don't. No, they respect God's word. They respect his holiness. And so when they speak differently than these wicked angels. Just as people speak differently. Unbelievers speak differently. They boast of so much. Taking glory to themselves, that they know better than the scriptures, that the scriptures and the gospel is really for weak people that need a crutch to stand on. The fact of the matter is, they have nothing to stand on. They have no foundation. No, we have a solid foundation in the word of God, but they have nothing. But they ridicule us. They ridicule us. And so we need to guard ourselves against them. We need to be watchful and careful about false views that seek to diminish the church's power. Oh, there's no such thing as evil spirits, the Sadducees. No such thing as spirits. Interesting. The sinful world in which we live is engrossed with that. I mean, they're so into those things. Evil and devils. And they find it entertaining. Little do they know, it's a reality. And the reality isn't that powerless way that they exploit it on TV. It's real and it's dangerous. And they're in its clutches, blinded. And they need to be rescued. So we need to see reality as it is. One, because it gives us comfort and assurance and strength. And secondly, it helps us to know how to act, how to interact with this world and with people, how to interact with the creation. The creation speaks to us. We need to listen to what it says so it can help us, it can encourage us, so that we can be strong in our belief in God and serving Him, and in the wicked world in which we live in terms of human beings. We need to see reality as it is. God has them in His hands. He is all powerful. We have a task to do, which is to see reality as it is and proclaim that to the world, that there is a God. He's all powerful and He's holy and just, and you are in dead trouble. And the only escape is to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we're to be strong as we do that. Because you can't do it in your strength. I can't do it in my strength. And collectively, we can't do it in our strength. What was Israel like among the nations of the world? Absolutely nothing. God had to defend them. God had to protect them. And through them, redemptive purposes went forward and culminated in the Lord Jesus Christ and that glorious, glorious salvation that we have through His death and through His life and resurrection. People of God, God is with us. And we need to recognize that. We need to keep that in mind. And out of that joy and confidence, we're to serve Him as He has served us. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we're so thankful that as we read the scriptures, that it corresponds perfectly to the reality that we see all around us. That it matches everything that we see. Because your word tells us the truth, that you are the creator of the heavens and the earth. You control all that we see with our eyes, and it speaks to us of your grace and love towards us. The way that you've provided for all of our needs, not at the minimal level, but it's just overflowing. And our Father in heaven, that speaks to us of your grace. And our Father in heaven, we pray that as we see you providing for our needs day by day, then that should lead us to understand and to appreciate all that you've provided for us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And our Father in heaven, we pray that we may have that sense of peace and inner strength, because we know that you have founded our lives on the Lord Jesus Christ. And you protect us. And that you will never let anything take us out of your hands. And so, Father, we thank you that that prepares us well for this week, to from that position of strength, that we can go in meekness and preach the gospel. Open people's eyes so that they can see what you are speaking to them through the creation, through your word, through the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless us and use us, for we are your servants. For we pray these things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Stand and respond as we sing from the Blue Hymnal number 300.